fake, snap back to throw. Nobody's open. Scrambles to his left. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Now throws it to neighbors on the sideline who made a catch and he get his feet in. The officials are saying yes. Now they're conferring. And now they say no, incomplete. And neighbors is down. Jones takes the snap back to throw. Steps up, going to heave the ball down the right side for Hyatt, trying to create some space, and it's intercepted by Oyewariye at the 5-yard line. And that's the ball game with 5 seconds to go. And the Cowboys' mastery over the Giants will continue.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the high of beating the Browns in Cleveland and an incredible defensive performance in week 3 to a stunted offensive performance at home against the hated rival Cowboys. That's Bob Papa on Giants Radio as New York falls to 1-3. Now it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are pleased to welcome Paul Dottino, who covers the Giants, is also a host on the Giants Radio Network. They had to settle for field goals tonight. Paul, what happened?
Yeah, the Giants just could not do anything in the red zone. Officially, they were 0-2 in the red zone. They were able to move the ball efficiently through the air, had no running game whatsoever. Dallas didn't have much of a running game either. These were two offenses that decided that their quarterbacks were going to throw a lot of short, medium-range passes. In fact, Prescott only had one completion over 20 yards, and it was the catch and run for 55 yards by CeeDee Lamb. That was the touchdown and the difference in the ball game. There were some longer throws by Daniel Jones, but the Giants couldn't complete them. In fact, they had 5 unofficial drops in the game. Dallas had none. And, you know, the Giants really basically did a lot of things to damage themselves in this game. I felt like afterwards in the locker room, they were more upset by this loss than the other two losses that they had suffered in the previous several weeks.
How come?
Well, because in their minds, I believe they felt that they had proven last week against Cleveland that they had gotten the post-preseason jitters and rust off. Mm. You know, I feel very strongly about this, Amy, and I think some of the players would agree. They won't say it, though. Most coaches don't want to play their regular starters very much in the preseason, and it results in sloppy September football, which is really an extension of the preseason. And with the Giants, they rebuilt their offensive line. They have a bunch of new starters on that O-line. And for them to only play something like 20 snaps to total during the preseason was not enough for them to gel. And I think they believe, in a lot of ways, that they started to finally gel in the third game of the regular season, and that was the win against Cleveland on Sunday. So I think in their minds, they were looking at that as a starting off point, and if they could win this game at home against Dallas by continuing to grow and have the arrow point upward, they would be a 2-2 team, back at sea level, back at .500, and say, guess what? It's a brand new 13-game season. And I really believe that's how they were trying to look at it. And they can't do that now because they're 1-3.
Mm. Daniel Jones had a great first half in Cleveland and was relatively efficient in this one. As you mentioned, Paul, he had to deal with a bunch of drops, including a couple of critical drops on third down. How have you seen him, though, come back after the injury?
Well, that's the really good part if you're the Giants. Daniel Jones played winning football enough that he put the offense in position for 27 points against Washington. They didn't get those points because of a drop pass on fourth down at the Washington 10, a fumble by Singletary at the Washington 35, and having no kicker during the course of the game. So they were in position to score 27, and I think they were very pleased with his performance in that game. They were clearly pleased with the fact that he led them to 3 touchdown drives this past week against Cleveland. And probably, once again, victimized by a couple of drop passes, could have led to some more points last week. So they've been feeling really good, management and players, about Daniel Jones. And then tonight, again, played well enough to lead the Giants to enough winning points. And you know, they didn't have a single play offensively or defensively tonight where you could say they played above the X's and the O's and made a play for their quarterback offensively or made a play defensively that forced a takeaway, a turnover, or a critical stop when they really had to get one. And that's really what it comes down to.
You can imagine.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, you can imagine that certainly is frustrating when you've got one part that's finally in sync and playing well, but yet not getting much help. Paul Dottino is with us following Giants and Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. He covers the Giants and is also a host on their radio network, which is our New York affiliate as the flagship. So, Paul, we saw Malik Nabers get hurt late. In fact, on that fourth down, that failed fourth down attempt, what do we know about him?
Well, he was examined for a concussion. You saw the play and actually got his toes in bounds, made the catch, and then did not complete it all the way through as he got landed on and was face first flat on the ground. They did examine him for a concussion. Afterwards in the locker room, he was not permitted to talk to the media, but then subsequently has gone on to Instagram to tell people on social media that thanks for the prayers, I'm doing fine. So, obviously, I think the whole NFL world is very pleased to hear that because this kid is a pleasure to watch.
What impresses you most about him?
Well, I think there are two things. Number one, he has become, although he's had a couple of key drops now in the first month of the season, I'm not going to lie, he's certainly made enough of incredible catches as well, but it's the contested catch that really impresses me. We knew about his great athleticism, his speed, his quickness, his jukeability, as I like to call it. But he's also been very good at physicality and muscling for the ball against stronger and bigger defensive backs. So that was a surprise for me that I did not think I would see out of him. And I think that's kind of what separates him from Odell Beckham Jr., because there's a lot of people comparing these two guys. But he's got more of the physicality of a Ja'Marr Chase than Odell Beckham Jr. had. So he's kind of a mixture between both players. The second thing that really impresses me is his overwhelming pride and the maturity at which he approaches the game. He takes things extremely hard when he drops a pass or he doesn't do something the way it was supposed to be done. And quite frankly, with an adulation, filled type career that he had at LSU, number one draft pick, coming out a year early, incredible talent like he is, quite frankly, that maturity isn't always present in those kinds of players. You know, those diva receivers, very, very often, they're a lot about me and about the spotlight. This kid has a level head on his shoulders.
What type of balance are the Giants looking for between the run and the pass?
Well, there's no question that Brian Daboll is going to be trying to lean on the pass more than the run. They do want to be more balanced than they have been. But the problem right now, okay, is that they don't have a breakaway running back. And this is the byproduct of Saquon Barkley taking the bigger offer and signing with Philadelphia. And Singletary is a solid, reliable, durable, workman-like, blue-collar back. And Tracy has got a lot of speed, but, you know, he's a rookie, and you've got to be careful how you kind of melt him in there. And Gray was a rookie last year, and he's still kind of feeling his way. And what it comes down to is this. Defenses, when they play the Giants, know that there's nobody in the backfield that's a home run hitter. You knew when Barkley broke through, there was a chance he could score from anywhere on the field. And that threat poses a danger to opposing defenses. They keep that in their minds. There's a respect factor there. Nobody respects Singletary as a guy who's going to break away and take it the distance. At best, he's going to get caught after 30 or 35 yards. And I do believe that home run threat that's missing from the Giants' backfield. And there's a bunch of premier backs in this league who can take it 60 yards if they have to. I don't think Singletary can. I think he runs in the mid-4 sixes. To me, that's part of the danger of going to a backfield by committee and relying more on the durability and reliability instead of the big play. And that's why I think Dable wants to use some of the short passing game with wide receiver screens and things of that nature to do some of what the running game would be expected to do.
Paul DeTino is with us following Thursday Night Football from New York, where the Giants fall to 1-3. Defense last week had a field day against the Browns with the 8 sacks, 17 quarterback hits. I'm not sure the last time I saw that many hits. Why not that same effectiveness tonight?
Well, you remember last week they blitzed well over 50% of the time. And Shane Bowen, as the defensive coordinator in Tennessee for a couple of years before he got to the Giants, was one of the most non-blitz DCs in the league. So he comes to the Giants, and the first two games, actually, he's not blitzing very much. He's holding true to his leopard spots. Well, somehow the leopard changed his spots last week, and I think shocked the living heck out of the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. I know that they were suspect at the tackles because their guys were banged up, and their O-line was definitely in a bit of a Red Cross situation. And maybe Bowen just decided, hey, if I'm going to take a flyer and change my spots and kind of, you know, throw a knuckleball here, this might not be a bad time to do it, because I think Cleveland's vulnerable, and they certainly were. It worked beautifully. My thought was that he might try to do the same thing tonight. He didn't do that. He went back to being, I'm just going to send my guys on the front four, and I'm going to pull back, and I'm hardly going to blitz at all. I don't know what the final percentage was tonight, but I guarantee you it was much more along the lines of what we are used to seeing from a Bowen defense. And I think that's for two reasons. Number one, I think that they were afraid with their banged up secondary that there was a chance that Prescott could get some longer passes in. Of course, as it turned out, Prescott did not want to throw the ball long. So there was a little bit of a chess match going on there. And so Bowen pulled back on the pressure, and it turned out that the Cowboys actually played it correctly. They won the chess match. They won the mind game because they went with the short pass, the quick release, the rollouts, and they were able to dink and dunk their way down the field to victory. And the Giants wind up holding the bag in this one.
Before I let you go, Paul, your impressions of the NFC East in this first month?
Well, as I say, I do believe that sloppy September is a lot of the extension of the preseason. Philosophically, I have a major problem with the way coaches handle it because they're so scared about getting guys hurt. And I think the quality of football is very poor, and I think you have a lot of Jekyll and Hyde teams. I don't think you really know about teams until a minimum of 3 full games, sometimes 4 games in. You remember Bill Polian, the Hall of Fame front office executive in the NFL, has often said that. You've got to wait a month to know what you really are. So I think what we have seen is that the Giants, I still believe the Redskins are in that quicksand of mediocrity with the Giants and with the Cowboys. I'm not so sure that the Eagles are as good as they think they are. I think Barkley has really made a huge difference for them right now. I'd like to see if they're going to sustain it, especially if Barkley winds up getting hurt again, which has been his history. And if he goes down, exactly what are we going to see out of Philly? I'm not sure that any team in this division is really equipped to run the table and wind up securing first place with 3 or 4 weeks to go in the season. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it is a typical quicksand of mediocrity division. And we've seen some up and down seesaw play from all of these teams because that's kind of the way the NFL's built these things.
It is a race to consistency in this first 6 weeks or so. And we're off and running in week 4 where the Cowboys get the win at MetLife Stadium. Paul DeTino was there. You can find him online at Giants WFAN, a Giants reporter and host going back how many years now, Paul?
This is my 42nd straight season covering the Giants.
Wow. So there is a Giants expert there. You definitely want to find him again at Giants WFAN. It's our privilege to have you on the show tonight. Paul, thank you so much.
Oh, it's very good to talk to you. I appreciate it, and please stay well.